couple weeks ago, I reached out to my IT department because I felt like my computer was kind of running slow. You know, I felt like maybe there was a virus or something, you know, because it felt like it started in September or whatnot. So I reached out to them, and what they got back to me with was pretty eye-opening. Hey, what's going on, my qualifiers? Welcome to another episode of Unqualified News with your host, Sam Mauricio. That's me. And this is episode number 43. 43. We've made it. And you know what the IT department came back and told me? They said, hey, you know what? We ran virus tests through your computer. We've checked everything. We've opened your Excel. We've opened your Microsoft. We've opened your mail. You know, and they did. They got onto my computer and you could see my little... the mouse, you know, move around and all that. And they said, hey, it's running perfect. Thumbs up. You know what I mean? They're like, it's running perfectly. And then, and I'm like, what? And then I emailed them. So this was all back and forth through an email. And I emailed them back. Hey, you know, Amazon has lost billions of dollars because of the app not working properly. Every time the app takes 3 seconds or longer to load, that's a giant loss that Amazon has on the revenue. You know, I said it in, you know, very two sentence, three sentence type of way to them. And they responded to me like, wow, I didn't know that. And that was it, man. That was in my qualifiers. I told them, look, my applications, they're taking 20 to 40 seconds to open when they should only be taking 1 to 2 seconds to open. And as I was writing that, I was just laughing to myself like, man, first world problems I have, man. I am one lucky, blessed motherfucker to be worried about my apps opening 25 seconds after they should, right? Ugh. So on this episode, my qualifiers, I bring you guys three articles. I bring you guys an article from ESPN. And consider this, I guess, a sports article because it's talking about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Probably the greatest fight in heavyweight boxing history. You guys are going to keep hearing about this fight. I guarantee you this fight's going to go down. It's a trilogy fight, and it was such an amazing fight. I have another article here from foxbusiness.com talking about California banning gas-powered lawn equipment. Gas-powered lawn equipment like the leaf blowers. You know, if you listen to podcasts, you always hear these podcasters talking shit about the damn gardeners, right? They always come at the wrong time. But that's here. California's going to ban them so that you can podcast in peace. And I have CNN.com over here, baby. Got all the big news. I got all the main news over here for you guys this time around. And this one is talking about Trump. Trump, baby. He just had a rally over the weekend, and it was one of the most alarming rallies yet, given by the title, the most alarming Trump rally yet. And he was just, you know, spouting his Trump usual stuff, like, hey, you know, I'm still the president, this shouldn't have been. Man, that's a toughie. It's kind of hard to stand by his corner with that one, right, guys? But you'll be surprised. There's a lot of Republicans that flip-flopped on their views on him, and they're standing by his side once again. So, Trump 2024, don't think it's not going to happen. And we also have the juice himself, OJ, on sports. And he's just running down his usual week. He's been doing pretty bad, it seems like, on sports. Maybe I should be giving him some of my pointers. All right, guys and gals. Tyson Fury retains WBC heavyweight title, closest trilogy with second KO win over Deontay Wilder. This is a sports story from ESPN.com, my qualifiers, by Mike Coppinger, reporting from Las Vegas. Deontay Wilder just simply wouldn't go away. Not after a third round knockdown. Not as Tyson Fury battered him around the ring, round after round. But Fury wore down the challenger, scoring another knockdown in round 10 before brutally finishing Wilder with a highlight reel knockout in the 11th on Saturday at T-Mobile Arena, to retain his WBC heavyweight title in one of the most action-packed title fights of all time. The fight featured 5 combined knockdowns, with Wilder going down 3 times and Fury going down twice, both in round 4. Fury was ahead on all 3 scorecards when the fight was stopped. 95-92, 94-92, and 95-91. ESPN scored it 96-98. "It was a great fight tonight," said Fury, 33 years old. "It was worthy of any trilogy in the history of the sport. Wilder's a tough fighter. I always said I'm the best in the world and he's second best." Regardless of where Wilder, 35 years old, is ranked after a second consecutive loss to Fury, his heart can never be questioned. He fired assistant trainer Mark Breland for throwing in the towel in the 7th round on his February 2020 rematch with Fury, saying he can never be counted out of a fight due to his tremendous power and that he always wants to go out on his shield. Indeed, Wilder survived a 3rd round knockdown Saturday night and was on unsteady legs when he connected with that patent right hand in round 4 to send Fury to the mat. And then Wilder knocked down Fury down again moments later. This time, it was Fury on shaky ground and at the end of the round. "He caught me twice in the 4th round, but I was never thinking, oh, this is over," Fury said. "He shook me, put me down, but that's boxing. And that's life as well. It's not how many times you get knocked down. You've got to keep fighting and keep moving forward." By the 7th round, Wilder was absorbing a beating. He seemed ready to go at any moment as Fury drilled him with haymaker after haymaker. At several moments, referee Russell Mora appeared close to stepping in to halt the fight, but he never did. Wilder usually threw a punch at just the right time to show he was still ready to go. The Gypsy King never got reckless. Surely leery of Wilder's dangerous right hand, but he continued to dole out punishment. When Wilder threw punches, he almost fell over numerous times from the exhaustion and pain. And then Fury dropped Wilder again in the 10th. And again, Wilder rose to beat the count. But finally, mercifully, in round 11, Fury landed the fight-ending shot, a devastating right hand that instantly dropped Wilder in a heap. Mora didn't bother to count. There was no need. The fight was over at 1 minute and 10 seconds of round number 11, ending a trilogy featuring 30 total rounds. "I haven't seen the actual knockdown tonight, but I felt it," Fury said. "I hit him with a solid, crunching right hook to the temple. And shots like that, they end careers. He definitely took some punishment, so we'll see what he can do in the future." Fury said he attempted to speak with Wilder in the ring afterward, but said Wilder declined. "I'm a sportsman," Fury said. "I went over to show some love and respect, and he didn't want to show it back. So I pray for him." Personal animus consumed Fury and Wilder in the lead-up to the 3rd fight, a trilogy chapter that almost didn't happen. They battled to a controversial draw in their December 2018 bout before Fury eviscerated Wilder in February 2020. Wilder immediately exercised his rematch clause and the 3rd meeting was slated for July 2020, before Wilder claimed an injury, which gave him a 90-day extension. October was then eyed, but the coronavirus pandemic proved to be a tremendous obstacle. The second Fury-Wilder fight generated a gate of nearly $17 million. Shattering the record for a heavyweight title fight in Nevada, precious revenue promoters Top Rank and PBC were unwilling to forfeit. Fury-Wilder 3 was then pegged for December, but the network schedules of ESPN and Fox presented another roadblock. Fury was adamant he didn't want the 3rd fight to drag into 2021. He and Top Rank considered the rematch clause with Wilder expired and pursued a mega fight with Anthony Joshua for the undisputed heavyweight championship. A Fury-Joshua deal was agreed for August 14th in Saudi Arabia, but days later on May 17th, an independent arbitrator ruled that Fury indeed owed Wilder a 3rd fight and that the rematch clause hadn't expired. July 24th was the new date for Fury-Wilder 3, before Fury tested positive for COVID-19. The trilogy included plenty of other drama. Wilder made a number of excuses following the second bout, ranging from bizarre, claiming a 40-plus-pound ringwalk costume drained his legs, to the baseless, saying Fury loaded his gloves despite through inspection from his corner and the Nevada Commission. All the acrimony led to a promotion filled with bad blood, with both boxers promising to maim the other in the lead-up. Saturday's fight was the first for both Fury and Wilder since they met in February 2020, a rare collaboration between Top Rank and PBC. In their first fight in December 2018, Wilder scored two knockdowns in round 9 and 12, but Fury appeared to win virtually every other round. The final round knockdown was devastating, a crunching right hand followed by a left hook that connected flush as Fury was already falling to the canvas. Fury somehow beat the count, etching the moment in heavyweight title history. The rematch wasn't remotely competitive. Fury scored knockdowns in the third and fifth rounds before finishing him off in the seventh round. Breland, the assistant trainer who threw in the towel to save Wilder from further punishment, was immediately dismissed from the team. Enter Malik Scott, who replaced Breland in the corner, and Jay Diaz as head trainer. The former heavyweight French contender was knocked out by Wilder in the first round on their 2014 bout. The change in corner didn't alter the result. Fury remains the ruler of the heavyweight division as he prepared to depart the ring Saturday. He grabbed the microphone and delivered one more performance, a rendition of Walking in Memphis by Mark Coe, with Vegas inserted in the place of Tennessee City. And with that, Fury left the ring, still the champion of the world, still the baddest man on the planet, and presumably with his trilogy with Wilder finished once and for all. And there you have it, guys and gals. That is ESPN.com on the Tyson, Fury, and Wilder Fight 3 trilogy. And I was able to catch this fight a day late, a couple hours late. I get on YouTube and try to see who's posting it, who's illegally posting it so I can watch it. So I was able to catch it a day later, early in the morning. And what a fight. It was such a good fight. It was so early in the morning. I woke up my little boy because I just jumped a couple times because it was a really, really good fight. It made me want to watch it because so many people were posting about it, talking about, you know, Tyson Fury, wow, or what a fight, what a fight. I had to watch it. Go look at it. It's Tyson Fury Wilder number 3. Just look anybody, just, you know, just look for any solid looking video. It's a really good fight. And Tyson Fury, one of my favorite boxers right now in the heavyweight division. Obviously, he's the champion. He's probably a lot of people's favorite boxers. But he was named Tyson, of course, after Mike Tyson. He's came out and he said it himself, that's what he got this name from. He was named after the heavyweight champion, Mike Tyson. And you guys know who Mike Tyson is. Another reason why I really appreciate and I really like this boxer, Tyson Fury, is he's very open about talking about the mental health issues that he's been going through in the past. He recently had basically given up on life a couple years back, you know, gained a lot of weight. And he attributed all that to just going through a lot of mental health problems. And he was able to overcome it by talking about it. And look at him now, heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury. California law to eventually ban gas-powered lawn equipment. This one is from foxbusiness.com by Adam Beam and Associated Press. California will soon ban the sale of new gas-powered leaf blowers and lawnmowers, a move aimed at curbing emissions from a category of small engines on pace to produce more pollution each year than passenger vehicles. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law on Saturday that orders state regulators to ban the sale of new gas-powered equipment using small off-road engines, a broad category that includes generators, lawn equipment, and pressure washers. The California Air Resources Board has already started working on a rule to do this, a lengthy process scheduled to conclude early next year. But the law Newsom signed on Saturday removes any doubt, ordering the agency to apply the new rule by January 1st, 2024, or as soon as regulators determine is feasible, whichever date is later. Governor Newsom signing this law really sets a strong course to not only his commitment to transitioning to zero emissions, but also to cleaner air and healthier lungs, said Will Barrett, Director of Clean Air Advocacy for the American Lung Association in California. The law, authored by Democratic Assemblyman Mark Berman, is part of an aggressive strategy to reduce pollution in the nation's most populous state. California is the only state with the authority to regulate air quality this way, part of an exemption carved out in the federal law in the 1970s. While other states can't enact their own regulations, they can choose to follow California's lead. Last year, California regulators approved a first-of-its-kind rule to force automakers to sell more electric work trucks and delivery vans. Also last year, Newsom ordered regulators to ban the sale of all new gas-powered cars and trucks in California by 2035, a date that has since been embraced by some of the world's largest automakers. California has more than 16.7 million of these small engines in the state, about 3 million more than the number of passenger cars on the road. California was the first government in the world to adopt emission standards for these small engines in 1990. But since then, emissions in cars has vastly improved compared with smaller engines. Now, state officials say running a gas-powered leaf blower for 1 hour emits the same amount of pollution as driving a 2017 Toyota Camry from Los Angeles to Denver, a distance of about 1,100 miles. The law Newsom signed also orders regulators to offer rebates for people to change out their equipment, a move aimed at landscaping businesses that use these machines more often. The state budget, approved earlier this year, includes $30 million to pay for this effort. And there you have it, my listeners, my qualifiers. That's from foxbusinessnews.com. And that's California news. Governor Newsom signing bills, baby. So this one right here is going to make it a little tougher for landscaping companies, right? For those gardeners that are out there to kind of get their job done, you know what I mean? I actually worked at my friend's dad's landscaping company, JP Landscaping. Shout out right there. Look them up, JP Landscaping, Southern California. And there were certain places, certain towns, certain cities, certain streets that we couldn't use gas-powered anything. You know, if they heard a leaf blower, dude, we'd get neighbors out there like, hey, wagging their finger. Oh, don't you do that here. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So there has been some laws signed, you know, since 1990, as you heard on the article. But I think this here, it's going to force change on people that aren't very good with change. I wouldn't doubt if Governor Newsom had some investments in electrical companies, you know, maybe some companies that are selling batteries. I wouldn't doubt it, but I'm not going to go look into it. Maybe you guys can. The most alarming Trump rally yet. This one comes from CNN.com, and it says here, opinion by Dean Obediala. While Donald Trump has held several rallies since the January 6th Capitol insurrection, his rally in Iowa Saturday was the most alarming by far. At Trump's past post-presidency events, you wouldn't find the state's leading GOP officials attending en masse. In fact, at a rally in Georgia last month, Trump rallied against the state's Republican leaders for refusing to assist him in illegally overturning the 2020 election. Trump even told the crowd he'd prefer potential Democratic challenger Stacey Abrams as governor over his fellow Republican who's currently in office, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. Saturday's rally in Iowa, though, was different. This one was attended by longtime Iowa U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, Iowa Representatives Marinette Miller Meeks and Ashley Hinson, and other mainstream Republican officials. Some of these very same people, who just 9 months ago were slamming Trump for his role in the Capitol riots, were now only too happy to be seen supporting him. This is politics at its worst, and at its most dangerous for our democracy. The most hypocritical of the bunch is Senator Grassley, who on January 6th was escorted by his security detail to a secure location to protect him from the pro-Trump mob that had laid siege on the Capitol. Grassley, who voted to certify the 2020 election, made a veiled reference to Trump in his statement, noting that the lawsuits filed after the election had failed and that the politicians in Washington should not second-guess the courts once they have ruled. In February, however, after Trump's impeachment trial for allegedly inciting the January 6th insurrection, allegations which Trump has denied, Grassley was even more direct with his criticism. He said in a statement that President Trump continued to argue that the election had been stolen even though the courts didn't back up his claims, and belittled and harassed elected officials across the country to get his way. Grassley added that Trump encouraged his own loyal Vice President Mike Pence to take extraordinary and unconstitutional actions during the Electoral College count. Grassley continued bluntly, "There's no doubt in my mind that President Trump's language was extreme, aggressive, and irresponsible," sharing his view that all involved in the attack, including Trump, must take responsibility for the destructive actions that day. Flash forward to Saturday, and there was Grassley beaming as Trump offered a complete and total endorsement for re-election. For the 88-year-old senator, Grassley responded, "If I didn't accept the endorsement of a person that's got 91% of the Republican voters in Iowa, I wouldn't be too smart." To Grassley, it was smart to accept the endorsement of the man who spent Saturday's rally spouting the same falsehoods that led to the January 6th violence that caused Grassley to hide in fear. Trump's litany of dangerous election lies at his Iowa rally ranged from irresponsible claims he won Wisconsin by a lot in 2020 to lying that the results of the recently released Arizona audit support his false claim that he had actually won that state. He even declared that, first of all, Biden didn't get elected, okay? The crowd responded to Trump's buffet of lies by chanting, "Trump won, Trump won." But Grassley wasn't alone in his duplicity. Also attending the rally was GOP Representative Ashley Hinson, who had released a statement on January 13th about the Capitol attack saying, "I believe the president bears responsibility, and that is why I urged him personally to call off those who were violently storming the Capitol last week," Hinson added. "I wish he had spoken up sooner, but he did not." Yet her view of Trump's role in January 6th act of domestic terrorism, as the FBI has classified it, did not stop Hinson from attending Saturday's rally. Nor did the fact that, just days earlier, the Senate had just released a 400-page report titled "Subverting Justice" about Trump's efforts to utilize the Department of Justice to help him illegally overturn the 2020 election. In fact, none of Iowa's elected GOP officials who attended the rally appeared to be concerned that Trump had asked the Justice Department 9 times to undermine the election results in what appears to be an attempted coup. You don't need to be a historian to recognize the danger in a political party showing blind loyalty to one person. These GOP elected officials just several months ago rightly criticized Trump and his role in the false election claims that led to the January 6th attack. With their presence at his rally this weekend, it seems they've won. It seems they've now changed their tune. Perhaps they now agree with Trump's lies, but it's more likely their flip-flop comes from recent polls showing 91% of Republicans in Iowa view Trump favorably. That, and not wanting to face the wrath of Trump like Georgia Governor Kemp, Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney and other Republicans who have dared to speak truthfully about the election. But who knows what Trump whim will be the next litmus test for remaining in his good graces. When even Grassley, Iowa's longest-serving U.S. senator, thinks it's smart politics to no longer criticize Trump for his un-American attack on our democracy and instead praise him in a pursuit of an eighth term in the Senate. It's clear the party is no longer defined by policy ideas, but by absolute loyalty to Trump and his influence. To put it bluntly, today's GOP is how democracy dies. And there you have it, my qualifier, CNN.com. That's an opinion piece from Dean Oberiala. There you go. That's Trump. Trump's still in the news, baby. Trump is still in the news. Has been, and now more so soon because, you know, new elections coming up. Before you know it, you'll be voting for somebody to take Trump out again, because Trump is definitely going in for Trump 2024. And on this episode, I'm going to title it Trump 2024 as a just clickbaity, as such a clickbaity title, because people that support, they want to click it to see what's up. And people that hate on Trump, they're going to click it just to see what's up. You know what I mean? So pardon me for that, but Trump 2024, that's going to be in the title.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. Watching a little golf tournament here on my golf, course, but yesterday, what a day, huh? That Cleveland Charger game, oh man, was that something special. I don't even want to talk about Cincinnati and Green Bay. Jesus, kickers. That was as inept as they were yesterday with all those PAT business. They made those games exciting. If you would have asked me last week, I would have said that the AFC Super Bowl would have to go through Kansas City. Not anymore. If you're going to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you got to go through the Buffalo Bills. Go Buffalo. You talk about circling the wagons. Man, are they playing great ball. And, of course, I think the Chargers. And the Chargers are way better than anybody thought they would be. And I can't figure out Baltimore yet. I'll watch them tonight and try to figure that out. In the NFC, you got a host of teams. You got the Cowboys, believe me, playing on both sides of the ball. And, of course, Tampa. And you got the Rams and, of course, Arizona. As a matter of fact, if I was voting for a league MVP right now, Kyler Murray would may have a slight edge on, hey, 44 or not, Tom Brady. I almost have to flip a coin. And then, of course, you got Herbert and Josh Allen. Man, is that guy good. I have to say, go Buffalo, go Bills. In any event, I hope you did better than me. I lost yesterday. My fantasy team is 1-4. Jeez. But I've had some bad luck. I hope I haven't lost Saquon for long. Hey, buddy, praying for you, man. Stay strong. Get back. Hopefully it'll only be a couple of weeks because it's a low ankle sprain. In any event, good luck to you. Do better than I'm doing on fantasy. And, hey, wear your mask. Get your shots. Things are, all this COVID is going down, and that's good for all of us. Take care.
All righty, OJ. Thanks. Looking good out there with that Bentley shirt, baby. Man, you know, the only team that really kind of bummed me out that lost this week, believe it or not, was the Raiders. I had the Raiders beating the Chicago Bears, of course, and they were actually rated to win by a high percentage, and they didn't. They didn't win against the damn Chicago Bears. I'm actually in a pick 'em leagues, OJ, so I'm going to reach out to you for some help on this. I'm at 62%. Pick rate. So we're in the same slump, Juice. Thanks again. I just wanted to take a quick second. Thank you guys. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. I've gained a lot of new listeners. I appreciate you guys. You guys are probably telling people, hey, look, this guy over here talking all this stuff. thank you. I've had I've been putting a lot of time into UN Talk, so soon you guys will be seeing a lot of new episodes. I don't want to say anything before it does happen, you know, because, you know, things happen, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want to say anything before I know for sure it's going to happen, but in the future, I'm going to drop a lot more UN Talk episodes that I think you guys are going to enjoy. I really enjoy doing them because I get to sit down and just talk, you know, and kind of just have a conversation with a lot of people that I either haven't talked to in a long time or just never talked to. And just my mind goes all over the place trying to ask questions. And I'm just very curious about what they're doing or what they're going to do. So it's a very fun thing for me to do. And I appreciate anybody that does want to sit down and talk to me. Thank you. And thank you guys for sitting down and listening, or running, jogging, whatever you're doing, working. Thank you. Appreciate it. And love you guys. Peace.